Paz de Cristo, praise the Lord, body of Christ. It is 5:44 Monday morning, and we give God the praise, the glory, the honor for another day of life. Thank Him for your wife, thank Him for your husband, thank Him for your children, thank him for your health. Thank Him that you have a roof over your head. Thank Him that you have a place to rest your head at night. Thank Him that you have clothes on your back. Thank Him that you have food in your belly. The Bible says that we should be grateful at all times. And for everything to be grateful. For thus is the will of God. So, thank you for tuning in today's podcast. We give Jesus Christ praise, the honor, and the glory, that name that is above all names. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, I want to say good morning. It's great to be with you this morning, or whenever it is you choose to put play on this podcast. Could be in the evening, could be in the afternoon. But for me, it's 5:44 Monday morning. I'm very grateful that I am alive. I'm very grateful that God has given you the ability to hear this word, and it is His word. Today's scripture is a beautiful one. It's a little long one, but it's beautiful. Let's go to it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the apostle writes and he says, though I speak with many tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. The word charity here is used for the word love. In Spanish it says love. Charity is a Greek word for love. So it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So he's talking about speaking both a natural tongue and Holy Spirit filled tongues. And I have not love, I am become as the sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have not, and I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Number 4, verse 4 says, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not believe itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put all things away. The scripture is very beautiful because it says that, number one, love conquers all. It says that we can do all these great things, but if we don't do them out of a place of love, if you're just doing them to be seen by other people, it's empty. And if you give people charity, if you give people, you know, you're going out giving people a bottle of water because it's the right thing to do. But if you're doing it just because they get views on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Real love is giving people what they need. Water, a little bit of money so they can put gas in their car if their car stalled out on them. Without doing it in front of the cameras. See, a lot of people go out there and they want to show people their good deeds. They want to show people that they're doing something great. And that's fine. But don't do it if it's not coming out of love. True love, real love. It says, love does not behave itself unseemly. Real love doesn't do things out of a thought to get more views, out of a, you know, I'm going to do this and people are going to see it and then I'm going to get a bunch of comments and oh, praise the Lord, you're doing such a great work out there, brother, sister, you know, group, whatever you are. They're just doing it to get more views. They're doing it to get recognition. That's not real love. He said, and if I give my body to be burned, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I have not love, then it profiteth me nothing. If you're out there because you want to be seen in front of the camera, and that's what your intention is, to be viewed by the world as a good person, and you're not doing it for love. You're doing it just for the views. Now here's where it gets really important. At number verse 4, love suffereth long. Love is suffering a long time for someone or something that you love, that sometimes they don't love you back. Well, for some of you, that's hard to hear. And for some of you listeners, you understand what that means. Love suffers long. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. He loved his own. He came unto them to bring them salvation. But they rejected him. I'm not saying this. The Bible is saying this. Love suffereth long. There's women out there been married to a man that's just not the greatest man in the world. Very abusive. And I'm not talking physically, it's more of a mental thing or emotional thing. And they're praying, Lord, change him, Lord. I have so many dreams of this man coming to the Lord. I have children with this man, and they're praying, and they're praying. Love suffereth long. See, real love, if you really love something, you stick with it. You know, the Bible says that, you know, when we're getting married, do you take this man for better or for worse? In sickness and in health, for richer or for poor. See, love suffereth long. You're in it for the long haul. And it is kind. When you really love somebody, you love them for all their faults. You love them for their quirkiness. You don't just love the good aspects of that person. You love them for even their negative aspects. Love envieth not. You see somebody getting blessed. You see somebody, you know, doing a little better for themselves. Man, good for you. Good for you. I'm happy for you. I've been praying that God bless you. I've been praying that you get that you know, not a new car, but to you it's a new car. I've been praying that you get that new car because I know you've been really struggling with your old car. And I've been praying that God bless you with that new car, with that new home. Instead of, oh, there she goes again, get another car. There he goes again, get another car. I had the same car for the past 10 years, and then you got a new car in a year. When you really love somebody, you're happy for somebody. One time a pastor came to our church and preached that he don't hate on people that get new vehicles and new stuff. He actually rejoices with them. And even he even asked them, hey, when are you going to give me a ride in your new pickup? When are you going to give me a ride in your new car? He rejoices with them. He's not hating on them. He's rejoicing with them. And that's what love is. You're happy for people when you see them doing good. Love doesn't envy. It's not puffed up. That's what the Bible says. Love is not puffed up. Love is not pride. If there's pride in a relationship, if you can't say you're sorry, you're waiting for the other person to always come and say you're sorry. If you can't humble yourself, you're always waiting for the other person to come humble yourself. I want to tell you, that's not love. Love is not puffed up. Love will humble itself. If you really love someone or something, you will humble yourself to keep that thing or that person. And there's somebody who understands what I mean. You will humble yourself. You'll say, look, honey, I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn. I said some things that I shouldn't. I said them in the heat of the moment. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You don't got to wait for the other person to come and say they're sorry. You know, real love, it pulls at you. It pulls at you. Dad, I'm sorry I said something to you that I shouldn't have said. I was angry. I'm sorry, Dad. Mom, I'm sorry. There's been times when I've apologized to my own children. You know, I said I was going to take them somewhere. And somebody, you know, I get caught up in the businesses of the church. You know, emails, texts, phone calls, visiting church members. And as a pastor, rightly you should. But sometimes our own kids suffer for it. And I've, you know, as many pastors have, not just me. I'm not trying to play the victim here. As many pastors have, we have to sometimes put our family aside, you know, and deal with the things of the church. And sometimes, you know, we offend our children. And there's been many times when I've told my son, or I told my daughter, I've told my children, I'm sorry. I know I told you I was going to take you here, or take you to this park, or do this and that with you. And I apologize. I couldn't do it. But love is trying to fix the problem. Love is not trying to prolong the problem. Love is trying to remedy, to reconcile the problem. That's why I love this scripture so much. It's not puffed up. Love humbles itself. Love asks for forgiveness. If you're the person, say, I'm always asking for forgiveness. I'm always humbling myself. And that's not love. The other person is not putting their part in the relationship. It doth not behave unseemly. Love doesn't do things that are going to hurt you. Love doesn't do things that you have to look at it sideways. I don't know. He says it was love, or she says it was love. I don't see it. It seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. When you love somebody, it's going to take a time. It's going to take time for that person to get under your skin. Why? Because you love that person so much. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You want to give them a chance to, you know, turn around and say, you know what? I said all these things. I'm sorry. You're right. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Ever been in an argument in a relationship and you're like, man, I wish I could run this person over. You know, I wish I could push this person down the stairs right now. Love thinketh no evil. Real love, when you're offended, you pray for that person. Why? Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was real love. See, we didn't love Jesus. The Bible says in Romans that he died for us while we were yet sinners. We were sin. We were the opposite of Christ. Christ is righteousness. And he died for us. He loved us so much that even though we didn't love him, he loved us. Even though we were not even knowing him, he knew us. Even though we weren't going to be faithful to him, he's faithful. The Bible says that there is no greater love than you would lay down your life for another. So if there's no greater love than a person would give their life for another, do you know what the true definition of love is? Love is, the definition of love in the Bible, is self-sacrifice. True love in the Bible is self-sacrifice. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He sacrificed his own son for the world. God told Abram to sacrifice Isaac. It was his only son. His only son, the Bible says. And God told Abram, if you love me, sacrifice your son to me. And Abram was going to do it. And the Lord stopped him. True love, ladies and gentlemen, is self-sacrifice. A mother sitting down with her child, and there's a little bit to eat, and the child gobbles up all his food on his plate because he don't know the situation, and the mother is acting like she's not hungry, and you could hear her stomach rumbling because she's very hungry, but she looks over to her left and her little kid's like, you're not hungry, Mom? You're not going to eat that? And what does she say? No, I'm not hungry, son. You can eat it. I already had something to eat. And him, without even knowing what's going on, will eat up that plate. That, ladies and gentlemen, is real love. A father who is willing to give his children the last $20 in his billfold because his son or daughter calls him and says, Dad, I need some gas money. Do you got a couple bucks extra that I could, you got some extra money that I can spare? Oh yeah, he says, here are these $20. I wasn't going to do nothing with them. Here you go, son. Here you go, daughter. And he had nothing in his refrigerator. True love is self-sacrifice. It doth not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, think no evil. When you love somebody, you're not thinking about after an argument, oh, I'm going to do this to him, I'm going to do this to her. No, you're wanting that argument to never take place. You're wanting the things that was said to never be said. You're wanting to give that person the benefit of the doubt. Second chance. Beareth all things. When you love somebody, you're willing to go through everything. When you love somebody, you're willing to go through everything and anything. But sometimes, two people that are in love go through situations. I'm not talking about an abusive relationship here. I'm talking about a relationship where both people love each other. And sometimes, love has its ups and downs, people. Love has its ups and its downs. Sometimes you're in love, sometimes you're out of love. Sometimes you like somebody, sometimes you hate somebody. You gotta work it out. Love believeth all things. Why do you keep believing him? Because I love him. Why do you keep believing her? Because I love him. It's not that these people are crazy. It's because they really do love somebody. And the Bible tells us that love believeth all things. Now, I always bring it back to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because how many times have we sinned? How many times have we told God, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again, Lord. I'll never fall in that sin again, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord. And the Lord says, okay, I believe you. I forgive you. 2 weeks later, same thing again. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I'll never do it again, Lord. And he said, Lord, please believe me, Lord. Please believe me and forgive me. Lord says, I believe you and I forgive you. How many times have we done that ourselves? And if Christ has to keep believing us, and if Christ has to keep forgiving us, then how many times do we keep believing, and how many times do we keep forgiving? The Bible says, it beareth all things, even the hard things, even the offensive words. Because at that moment, they're not speaking through love, they're speaking through hate. And love understands that, and love says, I'm going to let you say that to me. Because I know that's not the way you really feel. I'm going to let you stare at me like that right now. Because I know you're staring at me through eyes of anger. And I know that's not the real you. Love beareth all things. Verse 7. It believeth all things. Hopeth in all things. And here's the kicker. It endureth all things. A lot of us out here in a relationship, 1 year old, 2 years old, 5 years old, and a lot of people are already talking about quitting. Oh, that's it. I can't do it. I've heard testimonies of women praying for 20, 22, 25 years that the Lord would change their husband, that the Lord would change their wife. And it wasn't until 20, 22, 25 years later that the Lord changes them. I know testimonies of women praying, asking God for the Lord to change her husband. And so many years later, their husbands have changed. They go with them now to church. They're the ones at the altar with their hands up in the air, knees bowed, tears just gushing out of their eyes. And now the sister, instead of saying, pray for my husband, I wish my husband was here with me in church, now she's saying, thank you, Lord, because me and my husband, we're in a Bible study last night. We're praying last night. Love endureth all. And whatever, I'm not saying to stay in an abusive relationship. Don't get me wrong. Pastor Jay is not advocating abuse. But what I am telling you is that a lot of people are giving up too fast on a relationship because they're not willing to work it out. They're not willing to put in the work. Love puts in work. It says it endureth all. It believeth all. It hopeth all. If you really love something, you're gonna be willing to fight for it. You're gonna be willing to say, look, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know why I tell you this? Because Jesus Christ came to a world that did not love him. Came to a world that did not receive him. The Bible says he came to a people that didn't receive him. It says to his own he came and his own received him not. And because his own didn't receive him, then he turned and he says, I have sheep from another. From another pasture. I have these other sheep, and I will call those sheep into this pasture. He says, I have sheep from another pasture, from another flock, and I will call them. And that's when he brings up the apostle Paul, an apostle to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. See, Jesus put in the work. Jesus still hoped. Jesus endured all that rejection. Jesus endured all of that. And that is a testimony for us to take it into our relationships. Like I said, I'm not advocating for abuse. I'm not saying stay in an abusive relationship. But what I am telling you is if you have something good, find the good in it again. Find the reason you fell in love with her. Find the reason you fell in love with him. And make your foundation Jesus Christ. Make your foundation Jesus Christ. Look at the relationships that are falling apart. Either they were founded on Jesus, and when they fell apart, they weren't anymore. Or they weren't really founded on the rock that is Jesus Christ. If you want your marriage to be solid, you need to build that relationship on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Love. Love conquereth all. Love believeth all. Love endureth all. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for this word that you speak to us this morning about love. That we could love our husbands, that we could love our wives, that we could love our children, that we can love our family members, Lord, our family in Christ as well, Lord. That instead of emitting anger and emitting these vibes of negativity, we can start to emit positivity and just show the love, not only to our family, but to our neighbors, or also to our lover neighbors as well. And Lord, first and foremost, Lord, that we could love you, Father. Jesus, we pray, Lord, that we could love you as a, not just as a savior, as this figure of a God, but as a personal thing, Lord. The Bible says that there is a friend that walketh closer than a brother, and that's you, Jesus. You're a friend to us. That we could love you like that, Lord. That we could speak to you like a great friend. And that we could say to you that we're sorry when we hurt you through our sins, through our transgressions, through our iniquities. That we can humble ourselves and say, Lord, please forgive me, Lord. I haven't given you the time like I should. I haven't spoken to you anymore like I used to. Please forgive me, Lord, for putting you on the back burner. I'm sorry. You're my Savior, but you're not only my Savior. You're my friend. You're my Father. As we ask for forgiveness in our natural relationships, let us also consider our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we make amends in our natural relationships, sometimes we also need to make amends in our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. You folks have a great day. Stay blessed. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And God's people said, Amen.